Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Susanna Schuller, who is an Alexander Technique teacher living in London, England. And Susanna has had some personal experience with multiple sclerosis, and we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique can be useful for people who have MS, and perhaps more generally to people with other chronic conditions of that kind. Susanna, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Susanna, could you begin by giving our listeners a very short description or definition of the Alexander Technique so they have some idea what we're talking about?
Okay. Well, the best way for me is to, if you imagine, think of yourself as a machine for a brief moment, because you're a moving, living thing that operates and does things. And any machine can be used badly or it can be used well. And if you think of yourself in those terms, every time you move, every time you do anything, any simple everyday movement, you can do that with tension and with an inefficient use of balance, or you can do it nicely and relaxed and efficiently.
Mm-hmm. And that, I think that ties in with one of Alexander, who F.M. Alexander, who was the founder of the technique. A term that he used was use, spelled U-S-E, but pronounced use. And I think one of his big discoveries was that patterns of how we organize ourselves, patterns of how we do that, tend to carry across a wide range of activities. So someone that has a pattern of what he would call misuse, walking, is likely to have it, as well as some variant of it perhaps in speaking or chopping vegetables or whatever they do.
Right.
And so now, what do you see as... I know that you, I'd like to get to your own personal story with MS, mm-hmm. in a moment, but just generally, how do you see this method being useful for people who do have MS?
Principally, I think that every MS sufferer that I've ever spoken to, and this obviously includes my own opinion, says that most attacks are brought on by stress, periods of great stress. And the Alexander Technique can be very calming, very de-stressing, very centering. It allows you to remain more in the moment rather than the brain racing ahead to what's next or being stuck in the past. And it's really a reduction in stress levels, primarily for me, that it's relevant to.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if you could elaborate a little on that question of how the technique helps you to not have as much stress in your life, if I could put it that way.
Sure. The Alexander Technique is something that helps me to remain much more calm and more aware of what's going on in what I'm doing with myself. So if my mind is always racing ahead, if my mind is always busy, either in the past or busy in the future, thinking about what's next or thinking about what I did yesterday, if I'm not really paying attention to now, then for sure my physical tension, the tightening and shortening in my muscles that I might be unconscious of, is going to be taking over a bit. The Alexander Technique brings me into the present moment, enables me to do what Alexander Technique is, what we tend to say, we stop and think. And that stopping and thinking is just very calming in an overall sense for the entire neuromuscular system, for the nervous system. That's what it is for me. It's calming.
So the stopping that you're talking about is another way of saying that might be bringing your mind to the present moment, to what's actually happening right now.
Absolutely.
And of course, the Alexander technique is generally known for helping people improve how, the ways in which they stand and sit and move and perform and so on.
Indeed.
But and I'm sure all of those things would be beneficial for anyone with MS, but the feature you're talking about or you're emphasizing, I think, is this bringing your mental awareness to the present moment where you have an opportunity to actually make a change
Yes,
in
and
what's
all.
going on within you. Let's put it that, putting it that way.
Yes, and therefore, what you're doing as far as movement goes, because all of the things that you listed, performance, improved use of the postural mechanism, walking and sitting and standing in a more poised, more relaxed, more efficient way, any change to any of those activities has got to start. When you learn the Alexander technique, has got to start with being in the present. And when we can't make those changes, we can't improve on what we're doing unless we are aware of what we're doing. And if we are aware of what we're doing with ourselves, how we're operating this machine that is us, then we can't be thinking about what we're having for dinner or that meeting that went badly at work yesterday. Doesn't just, you won't be able to be aware. So
And
stopping, yeah.
I think in general the word stress is used a lot these days. It's
Yes, yes.
it's hard to pick up a paper or a magazine or watch TV show without the word stress or I'm feeling stressed or don't get stressed about this. I mean that word is all over the place.
Yeah,
And I
stress
wonder
levels, yeah.
stress levels, right? And I wonder if you could maybe not try to define it precisely, but give a sort of a definition that fits in with the Alexander approach to changing things. That is, perhaps linking it up with excess muscular tension, for example. I mean, how do you, how would you, if you were forced to define stress in an Alexander context, how would you do that?
I suppose I would say stress and pressure on the musculoskeletal system is what we're talking about. And stress is always a response to an outside stimulus. So people don't get stressed for no reason. People don't get stressed when they're lying on the beach in Hawaii reading a book that they're really enjoying. Their stress is something that comes from a stimulus that causes worry, that causes tension, that causes concern, that causes a need to do something about whatever it is that you're worried about. But usually, and Alexander was very clear about this, as I understand it, the muscular system reacts pretty immediately. So all any thoughts that involve what we refer to as stress, which we could also call worry, any sort of negative feelings about anything, doesn't even have to be negative, just of some sort of pressure. We tend to translate that into muscular tension, and I think Alexander is quoted as saying something very, very similar.
I think he actually said something along the lines of, and every time, everything you think, you translate into muscular tension. Or he was talking to
Right.
someone who was misusing themselves, but that there is this very, very clear link between mental activity and physical response. And
Yes. And
so.
it's the nervous system that makes that link. As I understand it, the thought transfers via the lightning speed nervous system straight to the muscles.
I think the title of a book, maybe that a teacher has written lately, is called something like "The Thought Propels the Action." I'm not sure if I got that right, but I think that sort of captures it,
Yes.
that there is this very intimate relationship between how you think and what's going on physically, and then obviously the stress is maybe a way, a self description of that physical constriction.
I agree, absolutely.
So, in that sense, the technique, which seems on the surface to be mainly about posture, coordination, movement, so on, would almost certainly, if it were effective, and I certainly think the Alexander technique is, would have to in some way be pretty useful for stress reduction too.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's absolutely right.
So could you say a little bit about your own experience with MS and how the Alexander technique came into play with that?
Sure. I had my first episode of MS in about 92. I lost partial sight in my left eye. MS sufferers will be aware that most symptoms come and go. They come, they last about 3 to 6 weeks, and then they go away. They sometimes leave some residual damage, and there is some residual damage to my left eye. I can still do everything, so that, you know, drive a car, etc., so that's fine. I wasn't diagnosed until 2 years later, and that was after a series of further symptoms involving loss of control of the facial muscles, loss of balance. And then finally, when I was diagnosed, and I was living abroad during all those symptoms in Paris, but when I came back to London, the diagnosis was made. And it was then that I discovered the Alexander technique, because I had terrible neck and shoulder pain, very tight shoulders, one shoulder was higher than the other. What people would commonly refer to as bad posture was definitely a feature of my life, slumping, stiffening, stress, and that hadn't helped. So originally when I approached the Alexander technique, it was to improve my neck and shoulder pain. But the results is what's clear for me, is that I was diagnosed in 94, and since taking lessons in the Alexander technique, and then 10 years later in 2004 training to be a teacher, I have had as far as symptoms of multiple sclerosis go is a few, about 4 or 5 episodes of double vision, which recovers completely. The medical term for that is diplopia. It doesn't really matter, but that seems to be my favorite symptom. I've had a tiny bit of loss of facial muscle control at one, but each symptom has occurred about every 3 to 4 years since learning the Alexander technique in 94. I've had to have no medical intervention. I've never taken any drugs. And my particular case of MS is following what doctors refer to as a benign course. It just hasn't worsened. The amount of symptoms have not increased in either number or frequency or severity. So while I can't prove it, and my doctor said the same thing, she can't prove it either, but she's pretty convinced that the Alexander technique is what has helped me, or is in largely responsible for my case of multiple sclerosis following this reasonably benign course.
Mm-hmm. And so when you first started taking lessons, you weren't thinking, oh, this might help with the MS.
I sort of was. Principally, I was thinking, you know, bloody hell, my neck hurts, but I really need to do something about my neck and shoulder pain. But I was also thinking overall that I needed to look at my stress levels. And I did several other things at the same time. I took up yoga. I did some psychotherapy. I did some reflexology. I looked around in the complementary health world. But the Alexander technique is the thing that I stuck with and that I found most powerful for me. So it was, yes, it was because I was diagnosed with MS that I mm-hmm. did all of those things. And so it was kind of hard, you know, a mixture.
Mm-hmm. And I think we probably should pause here for a second to make it really clear to our listeners that the Alexander technique is in no way a medical process. We are teachers. We teach people how to use their physical mechanism, their body, more effectively. So we don't offer cures for anything, but as you said, often people with MS or perhaps other chronic diseases, if you can kind of get at the stress triggers, you can make life and also help people to move more efficiently, sit, stand, and move more efficiently. You can do an awful lot to make their lives happier. I mean, officially, I suppose you still have MS, right?
I do. I still do have a mild case of multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. Most people are aware, certainly if you have the illness, you're aware that the illness has different levels of severity, and I'm in the mild bracket. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the interesting point is that I have not progressed to anything more severe. And I think what Alexander discovered was that the way we use ourselves, which I think in translate usually as the way we operate the machine that is us, the way we use ourselves, affects the way we function. So I can only assume from my own experience that the functioning of the nervous system is helped by the improved use, the improved coordination of the psychophysical system, as we would call it, the and the looseness that comes, the more relaxed, less stressed, loose quality. Mm-hmm. Of movement and the way I am on the planet, the way right. I stand, the way I sit.
Loose meaning without extra tension, it's not really useful. Would that be a short?
Yes, I would.
Of that.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening to us right now and they think, well, maybe I should check out the Alexander technique. What if someone with MS came to you for lessons? Mm-hmm. Maybe could you say a word or two about what might happen in the first lesson or two, so they have some idea of what they're getting into?
Sure. Well, if anyone who comes to me for a lesson in the Alexander technique, regardless of what condition or what issues they have that has brought them to me, I would always make it clear that the Alexander technique is an educative process, is that we're not treating people, we're teaching people to be more aware of what extraneous, unnecessary, unhelpful tension they're carrying unconsciously in their system all the time. If they're holding on at the shoulders, are they aware of it? If they're tensing the lower back, are they aware of it? So, and I would be working with them to start noticing those habits of tension.
So it sounds as though, in very general terms, there's not a lot different that you would do with someone with MS than just a quote ordinary unquote student.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah, mm-hmm. There isn't, because the random nature of multiple sclerosis, that's where the word multiple comes from. Sclerosis is the description of the abrasion or the inflammation that forms on the myelin sheath that coats the nerves. And the word multiple, as I understand it, refers to the fact that it can go wherever it wants. So it can affect sight or balance or touch or muscle control. It can, you know, it's so immensely varied. Neurologists say that the difference also, on a slightly different point, the difference between a mild case and a severe case is so wide that they might as well be given different names. I think I would be trying to teach that person the value of improving their use, of improving what we call their use, the way they operate this precious machine.
Mm-hmm. And could you generalize a little bit to other chronic conditions? Would you say the technique has the same sorts of benefits that it does for people with MS?
Yeah, I would say so. I was talking to a neurologist recently who said that it seemed to him that the repetitive nature of the Alexander technique, I mean, anyone who's had Alexander technique lessons will know that most lessons are consist of some work looking at simple movements like sitting and standing or bending, usually involve some work lying down on a table, people learning to observe where their tensions are and how they can release muscles. And the lessons are vary to some degree, but you're giving the nervous system, the musculoskeletal system, the same message over and over again. We, you know, again, people who've had Alexander lessons will recognize language like free the neck. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. this neurologist was suggesting that the repetitive nature of actions performed in Alexander technique lessons mm-hmm. is useful because it fires the synapses in the nervous system, and that for a neurological rehabilitation perspective, that could be useful. Maybe somebody with an injury that's done some damage to the nervous system, for example. I mean, I am generalizing here, but I would say yes. Chronic conditions that are nervous system related can only be helped by an improved use.
Mm-hmm. And I would think not just the consistency of the lessons, but the self-help processes that the technique will teach you.
Right.
So, you, and in that context, I would imagine that the, I guess you could say, the empowering nature of what you learn with the technique must be pretty important for people who might be used to being in the medical situation where, yeah, it's not all that empowering, right? You go to the doctor, he tells you what's wrong with you and what to do about it, and you don't, you know, you're kind of in a system that you don't have too much control over. So
that's absolutely right. And if you have MS, you're acutely aware that there is no cure for it as yet, although, you know, lots of people think there will be, certainly in my lifetime. And also the drugs available have side effects. Mm-hmm. So the word empowerment is, you know, is really important here. I think that that's absolutely crucial for me. I mean, that's what I say to people, is that we try and hopefully succeed a lot of the time in empowering the individual, in ending a dependency on people fixing them, which is where I was in 94. I was extremely dependent on osteopaths to relieve the pain, for example. And I was empowered by the Alexander technique. And I now know that if I do get muscle tension or headaches or neck pain or whatever it is, I know what to do about it. I know that I can practice the Alexander technique. I have this skill for my life that I can take wherever I go. I don't have to apply to anyone else to access it.
Mm-hmm. And apart from freeing people from various medical processes and so on, it also, at some point, frees you from your Alexander teacher as well. I mean, we don't...
Right.
You're not going to be... If you do take Alexander lessons, you're not going to be taking them forever, that's for sure. Most teachers would discourage that pretty strongly.
So. Yes, absolutely. Yes, the idea is that you're taught to fly and set free, isn't it?
That is the essence of it, I think. Yeah. I think unless you have something that we haven't talked about that you want to mention, this might be a good place to bring this talk to an end. What do you think?
That sounds in about right. I think I've covered I'm very glad to have had the opportunity to say what I've said.
Okay. Well, you know, my guest today has been Susanna Scholer, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in London, England. If anything that we've talked about today resonates with you and you want to, and you live in the London area, contact Susanna through her website. We'll put a link to it by the interview. If you perchance happen to live somewhere else in the world, we'll also put a link to a website that will enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Susanna, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert. That was a real pleasure.